I'd like to call this meeting to order. Thank you for being here. Let's begin with a pledge and a prayer, which I'll offer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
The United States of America. The Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll offer a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to be joined here today in driving forward the water concerns for Pine Strawberry. We're grateful for our homes in the mountains, grateful for the freedoms of this wonderful country, for its history, and pray that thy hand will continue to be on it, that all of our freedoms and opportunities will be protected, and that we will do our part to make those things happen. We're grateful to be associated with this community. We ask thy blessings upon this meeting, that we can be smart and kind and exercise wisdom and judgment, and we are grateful for all we receive from thee, and say it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do a roll call in the room, starting with Larry first.
Larry Bagshaw here.
Corey Ellsworth was here.
Victor Tower present.
Sharon Hillman present.
All right, online.
George Gorkowski present.
Brent Pruitt present.
Thank you.
Roger.
Say hey, Roger. We've got him. It looks like it's him, though, anyway, unless we have another Roger. But in any case, we have a quorum. The first item, item number five on the agenda, is the call to approve the minutes of the June 27th public hearing / regular meeting.
Yeah, so moved.
Yeah, that was pretty straightforward. Anybody want to second that?
Second.
All those in favor of approving those minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. That's good. Moving on to item number six, reports to the board. We'll start off with Paul Hendricks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's an honor to be here serving the district. Another month's gone by. Dashboard's still up for the public to see progress on the projects. Woodland Heights project received approval of construction permit from ADQ, and in the process now of doing the final paperwork to close things out. White Oak Cedar Meadows construction, they've got 4,555 feet of 6-inch pipe installed as of the 19th of the month. That project is scheduled, and a little ahead of schedule actually. It should be completed no later than October 5th. And we do have a change order that's probably going to extend us on towards that time to cover an area where between some existing pipe, we decided that we needed to put new pipe in to connect in that area, give a better pressure. And we expect that the next phase will start pretty soon. As soon as the pressure testing is done in that area, we've already gotten the good BACTI results and things like that, but we need to finish pressure tests, make sure everything's in right, and then they'll be starting the pavement replacement and restoration. So I'm sure that folks in that community will appreciate that. And so although we're done with the project, essentially all the service lines are roughed in and things, they're hooking those up, and then we'll do that small change order and then move on from there. Portals 2.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steve. We're in the, Paul's reporting now. Thanks for joining.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Portals 2 is scheduled to be done on Thanksgiving, and they've got 5,000 feet of pipe installed as of July 19th. They have several crews working throughout that community, and sometimes It's a challenge to know which road to go down, but they're out there getting the main lines installed. That's their primary focus. There have been numerous utility locations occurred. There's a couple ways to locate an underground utility. By law, you call and ask for a location, and all the utilities are supposed to come out and mark them. And so some of them come out, and some of them mark them. And then we start digging, putting in a trench, and we locate utilities. So if they aren't located properly, which a lot of them aren't, those utility companies have to bear the cost of fixing their own stuff. But it does delay us somewhat, so it's inconvenient. District staff has taken on the project to put new equipment in the intermediate booster pump station. That project, they reported to us today, is coming along well, and look like it's going to come out very nice. The deep well project, ADQ, approved the construction of the equipment for the well equipment booster storage tank.
Let me know.
Ancillary equipment, and that will be advertised for bidding. We expect to open those bids in late October, and pending authorization to actually proceed with work on site. Once we get those bids in, we'll have an idea of our budget and proposed schedule. We continue to have paperwork processed for the loan funds, and the resident project representative from Sunrise, they've assigned Isaac, who's been with the project now for quite a while, one of their engineers in training, as the person on site. And the existing engineer is still the formal resident project representative. We work with district staff on a weekly basis, get good support between our team and theirs, and review the well status and paperwork, and are out on the field site if necessary. Any questions?
Does anyone have any from the board? Any questions for Paul?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. Field operations.
We have a.
It's going to be an easy one for me. We released the five. Well, we've corrected five water leaks, and we've also corrected five hits this month from Mountain High. Estimation of about 82,000 lost gallons. When Mountain High hits it up in the portals or Cedar Meadows, we have to go out. It's our water line. We have to fix it. So we still kept it down to 5 weeks. My team, we all completed our CPR course for the entire staff.
Did we go somewhere? Did someone come in? Did we do it online?
No, someone came in. Okay.
Cool.
A couple of dummies, and then cool. Just did it in two shifts.
Very cool.
And the girls.
Christy's waiting for the joke about dummies. Or...
I was.
Well, that was Kyle. That's not everything. So that was a good thing. Everybody felt pretty good about that. It didn't take very long. We released 5 meters again this month. However, we've only gotten acknowledgement from, I believe, one.
One so far.
Okay. Right. So we're juggling with the other four right now.
This is month 10.
Yes.
August.
Yes.
No, maybe 11.
We started September. So yeah.
September, so this would be 11, and August would be 12. Right.
And then okay. We start all over again.
We start all over again.
Yeah.
Yes.
The last thing I have is, I can't believe it, but in 7 days, it'll be my 1 year anniversary.
What's the official date?
August
1st. August 1st.
Okay. Yep.
We'll make note of that. It's been a good year.
It has been a good year.
It's a good year.
Getting better all the time.
Thank you, Steve. Question on, just for my interest, and related to Paul's comment, the hits. Is that mostly, I mean, do the utilities ever not come out and stake it?
No, they always do.
They always do. They just don't have the right info.
We have no ASBILs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a beautiful thing about what we're doing now. Yeah. We're complete. We will have ASBILs.
Exactly.
But yes, they have to go out and do staking.
Gotcha.
They still get it.
Gotcha. Might as well have Kyle and the gang follow the truck, right? Follow the trench.
We've got a team on standby.
Thank you very much. Treasurer's report, Sharon.
Not a lot to report on the treasurer's report. Everything for the whole year is now recorded in here. We've still got a few outstanding projects, district projects that didn't get completed this past year. So we'll be finishing those up in the next month or so when they get the parts and things that they were missing. The USDA projects and WIFA funding is moving along smoothly. I have, well, the next issue I have is on the agenda. The treasurer's report will be published to the website tomorrow for your view.
Got it. Any questions on the treasurer's report? I have none. Secretary's report, Larry.
None.
Vice chairman's report, George.
I don't have a report prepared due to my wife fracturing her elbow yesterday, but I will give the updated slides, and I'm also going to add a month-to-month, year-to-year comparison on the total water usage, so everybody can clearly see if it's gone up or gone down in the last year or so. But I don't have that prepared yet, so I'll be working on it. Other than it'll probably be out about a week and a half since I'm leaving on a trip in the next couple of days, but I will get it updated. We can put it up on the website then.
Gotcha. And good luck to your wife and her recovery. No fun.
She's okay. She's got a hairline fracture. She's just got to keep immobilized for now. And other than the little pain, she's doing good.
Good. That's good.
Thanks.
Could have been worse, right?
George, if you look at the usage report this month, it's got 2 years for the
bottom line that I'm sharing is at the bottom of the graph. I'm also going to include a plus minus month to month from year to year so people can see July this year comparison to July last year and get an idea. Thank you, though.
Okay.
District Attorney's Report, Steve Ween.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. It's been pretty quiet from a legal standpoint on general matters. The only real issue that popped up that's new and needs to have some attention to it is our filings in the Gila River adjudication. Now, let me explain. So what triggered this was the fact that we filed the driller's reports and logs that you have to give permission to drill a well, and so it was talking primarily about the new well, and that's what triggered the letter from the Department of Water Resources. But what the letter is saying is that, look, the adjudication is coming along, and if you have a right to use water, you need to file your claim in the Gila River adjudication. Now, I don't know how in-depth you guys want to go on this, but I will let you know that it's something that, you know, in the back of my mind that we've been thinking about and we need to address, because at the end of the day, the district is very confident that you're pumping groundwater. Okay, but with all of that said, federal rights also talk about groundwater, and there could be rights to groundwater for the federal government. Why that's important in your case is that you have a lot of federal lands around where you are. And so the National Forest Service may be making some claims that they have a right to the protection of groundwater for various springs and things of that nature. Salt River Project also has the same sort of approach on some of the springs. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why the hydrologist chose the well site where we did, is because it is away from, I forget the name of it off the top of my head, the nearby,
Fossil
what's
Creek.
That?
Fossil Creek.
Yeah, those springs, okay, there's springs that feed Fossil Creek. We purposely avoid those so that we don't get into litigation about where our wells are. But with all of that said, we do need to get our wells registered and our claims put in That work has not been done to my knowledge. I did a cursory review of the files that I can find with the Department of Water Resources. I didn't see anything. So it would be a very easy for us to go ahead and get those claims in. One, because eventually it'll come to you and you have to have that work done. But two, the other thing is you get, like right now we're having the Yavapai Apache Nation water rights settlement go through. And as that goes through, the nation is going to basically waive their claims against water users who have their claims on file. If you file later, it doesn't apply. So in other words, it's just better to get it in now. There's no risk, and it actually helps you some. So, and that would be for all the wells, for all of your wells, you want to get those done. That's it.
So the next step is?
Nothing you guys need to do. I'll take care of it. I'll just start probably call Steve Bowen, you know, unless I hear something from the board that says, no, we don't want to do that now. I'll talk to Steve Bowen and the office staff and make sure I've got all of the well numbers and I can draft up the claims pretty quickly. I do this routinely. It's not a big deal. But we can get them all, get all the claims for all of our wells in.
Great.
Now, Steve, we prefer to put that list together and spend the time here in the office getting everything ready so that all you need to do is just file the claim and attach all the information. Because we already have lists of all the well numbers and that type of stuff. We're just going to figure out if there's any there we don't have to add. We talked about it today in our team meeting. That Jim is going to work with us, our operator of record. So we'll get all that.
Yeah, if I wasn't clear, that's completely what I was intending. Is I just need the well numbers and those, and we can get them filed. Steve,
yes, sir.
Steve, what about well share agreements? Does it affect well share agreements?
Yes, it does.
It does. It does. It absolutely does. Okay.
We're listed as the user of the well that's in the well share agreement, George. That's why we have to list it.
That's what I figured. I just asked, that's all.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we may have to work with the landowner. If whoever the well is registered to, that's the person that needs to at the end of the day, sign off on it. But as a district, as a water provider for the community, I think you can as well. What I would suggest is that if it's a well that we're leasing, we put it all together, we get the work done, we make sure the claim is in there, and we probably would both sign it, probably the landowner and the district probably sign off on the claim.
Yeah.
One other question, Steve. Future well share agreements, are people's wells in the area automatically not going to be bound to this, whatever this, the Indian government agreement? Do they have to register separately? Because, I mean, we have some now, but we might have future customers that say, hey, we want to do a well share agreement. Will that make a difference? I mean, I'm just wondering how that works. Well, in the future, yeah, I mean, if the well's an existing, well, for example, Yavapai Apache Nation, what they're basically doing is they're giving a waiver to current uses. So if you have a well that's being used and a lot of times there's not a tracking of how much water is being used. So you're going to get a waiver as a practical matter. As long as you don't change the use too much, the waiver would apply to you. Now, if Pine Strawberry goes in there, you know, leases the well or uses this joint sharing agreement, we quadruple the use, that wouldn't be covered by the waiver. So at the end of the day, I think you're going to be wise to get everything in, get it done, put it on paper, and move forward.
Paul, it's my understanding that if a well in this area has a 55 number from DWR, it should be on our list. Whether it's ours or theirs, we want to tag all of those. But we can see there is a form that is available, so we'll get that together and then collaborate.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, they're not very hard to put in together. It just takes a little time.
Anything else, Steve Wee?
Nope.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 7, public comments. I have one blue card from David Diggs to talk about the deep well. And I have an imaginary timer.
Fair enough. $200,000 for about 5% of a normal budget year. This money has been wasted on this project to date, and the meter is still running. Think about the conversation could have been different a year ago. He brought this to the table to try to make this project more acceptable to the community. The only person who is happy about where we are right now is our attorney. He gave you bad counsel a year ago, and everybody said this would happen except for him. We're the only tools, a hammer, everything should look like a nail. They'd rather spend more money on legal fees. Rather than negotiate with the community you're impacting, it feels like deja vu all over again. You received counsel not with us during the lawsuit and hid behind this counsel for the last year. The lawsuit is over. You lost, the ratepayers lost, we lost. Steve can say that you have not lost. That's because he got paid. Maybe he did win, just a different game. Rather than not like dictators, I ask again that you engage the community on this. Get a real estate cost of the condemnation process. Let's bring money to the table. Just want you to accept it to the community. Unless, of course, you'd rather spend that money on legal fees. One more thing. Here's a free piece of PR advice. Stop blaming everybody other than yourselves for this mess. It's just a bad look. Continue to make this a board versus community situation rather than a board and community situation. Working together to solve this issue. I do not understand how to take this approach. Again, we're ready to talk.
Thank you, David.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to respond to that because that was sort of a personal attack. Can I have a couple minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, that is just absolutely not true. And people should be very careful when they speak in public about subscribing, you know, motives to people that aren't true. You know, this board is well aware that I did everything we could to avoid litigation. We never wanted litigation. We tried to avoid litigation. We tried to settle litigation. We tried to do everything we could to placate and work with the community to the extent we could and still get the well site where we were. So this idea that the lawyers are making out and somehow are in this for the money, if you will, is just patently false. The reality of the situation is, of course, we're lawyers. We trade minutes for dollars. That's what we do. Okay, but if you're going to talk about how this litigation went on, you know, we tried to avoid as much cost as humanly possible to get this thing done and still get what the board wants for the deep well for the community. And everybody keeps talking about, well, you know, it could have gone somewhere else. Where was it going to go? So this idea, I know that the neighbors there did not want that site. I get it. I understand. I'm sympathetic. I live very close to a million something gallon storage tank for the city of Phoenix. I know what people think when they look at storage tanks. But the idea that somehow this was personal and we won because we received money for this, it's absolutely not true. It's not a fair comment. And frankly, it's offensive and it shouldn't be said that way. We've never insulted the plaintiffs in that suit. We've always been respectful, and I think they should be accommodating and respectful too. We may be disagreeing on where the well should be, but nobody should be disagreeable and attack people personally. That's just not proper. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for getting on the record. I see no other blue cards. Item number 8 is business. We have a few items. 8.1 is the WIFA grant process. Sharon.
Okay, we received this grant in $1,575,675 in an agreement signed May 22nd. As a state and federal funding, there's a lot of requirements. However, unlike any of the district's loans and grants, the district requirements the district will need to pay for the engineering and construction work as completed and submit for reimbursement. This request must be submitted through the grant website for approval by the grant coordinator, approved by the finance committee, and out to the governor's office for approval to be paid. The process can take up to a month to receive the funds electronically if there are no issues with the request. Therefore, the district will need to use operations funds to pay for the work completed to date. The Pine Cove area is the project for these funds. The district's match to the grant is $525,225, previously approved and marked funds in the capital projects budget. This process is not known at this time of the application. And it's WIPA grant, the WIPA grant and district funds. It's more complicated than anything else that we've done. It's time consuming. And because we didn't know that we were going to have to pay up front, I need to make a motion to authorize the use of the district operations funds to complete the Pine Cove project if the board wants to receive this grant and use these funds. This project is just a little over $2 million with the grant and our funds.
So I'm sure others will have questions. I've got a couple. One is, it says financial impact, yes, but it's a timing issue.
Yes.
Not a net cost to us issue, correct?
Well, our 525 is a cost to us.
Well, but we budgeted that in.
Yes, we did.
But this is a timing issue. We spend and get reimbursed.
Right.
In that process of up to a month, and do we know, I can't see why they should ever go, no, we're not going to reimburse that. It should be a pretty fluid process, do you assume?
I assume that it should be, only because of the other WIFA processes that I've been doing for years. But this is totally different. It's very, very different. You've got a grant coordinator, hence you have to. For example, I uploaded an engineering contract that we want to use this engineer to do this project. I had to send her documentation where we hired this engineer normally. But then there's this stack of paperwork that is federal provisions because it's ALP. The contractor also has to sign this exhibit E that you signed when we did the agreement. And so now I need to get that document from the engineer, submit that through this system, get approval to be able to use that engineer before he can even start. Gotcha. Outlining and making plans for this. It's going to be the same with when we have to go to a contractor after we have plans. So it's much more complicated and time consuming for this process. It's going to the grant coordinator to approve. If there's one little thing, it gets rejected. And then it goes to the finance committee that's overseeing these grants at WIPA. And then from there it goes to the
governor's office,
and from what I understand, stuff is sitting in the government's office for months, waiting for approval from that side. So it's hard to say. It could be a month, it could be 2 months before we get the funds back. But as long as we manage the funds that we're spending, like the engineer's cost is only like $40,000.
Right.
It's going to be the construction part when we get to that phase, where it's going to be more dollars we're going to have to spend and wait to get back. It should be easy. I don't know that it will be. I still think it's worth doing it.
Yeah. Have you seen these comments, Paul?
Mr. Chairman, Board, yes, we're working with some other districts that have these funds that are basically earlier in the process, and it's been 2 to 3 months, and I was on a call yesterday with these people, and they're learning. And so from a cash flow standpoint, your treasurer is correct. You just need to really stay on top of it and be very diligent. Don't expect that it's just going to happen, and be prepared to have, probably until you get the process going, you may have 2 to 3 months of lag in getting your reimbursement. So you want to watch your cash flow management for the construction.
And this $500,000, what have we incurred so far?
We haven't incurred
anything
because the engineer hasn't started.
Right. And like you said, it's not going to be an even load. You can't say it was a year and it's 500. You can't divide that by 12 because we'll have engineering and then we'll have construction costs ramp up.
Yeah.
Right.
this is a, for us, this is a small project. It's one subdivision where that has black pipe. So it's not where it's connecting to the areas around it, but you're not looking at millions and millions of dollars like we are with these other projects. So a contractor can do this project in probably 6 weeks.
Right. Is this, which subdivision are we gonna do with this one?
Pine Cove.
Which would be great to get done, right? Because remember the things we went through 10 months ago? Yeah. With some great neighbors.
It'd be great to get them all done, but you're right. And I'll fit one bite at a time. This is a good
that was that was the gentleman that had 3 in 3 months or something like that, right? Same.
No, that's Pine Cone.
Pine Cone.
That's a different area.
Yeah, that's Pine Cone Trail.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Still, Paul.
Sharon, I believe we have to have the funds expended by June 26th. Is that correct?
June of 2026. Yeah. Yes.
So we have until that time.
There's a table of when you have to expend the funds, 25% by the end of this year and 50% by the end of next year, and all of it by June 2026.
Like we said, it's more rigorous than the state revolving fund loans.
Right. Other questions for Sharon?
So Sharon, it's 6 weeks, but when do we think we're gonna start and end?
Well, once I get
it's within the fiscal year, essentially.
Yes, okay. It would be within this fiscal year. Yeah.
And then it works with us fronting the 525 before we draw down on the actual grant?
We front all of it.
Okay.
It's just a process.
Okay. So it's not just 500K. We front 2 million,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yes.
Well,
in parcels.
And,
it goes along.
In theory, what's if say it was 3 months? So, this is all rough math, but if it took 90 days to get reimbursed, what's the most we're out at any one time? 100,000?
Oh no, more than that. Because a contractor is probably going to do $200,000 to $300,000 worth of work in a month,
okay.
at a minimum.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be 2 million.
3 month project. 3 to 4 month cash flow project on the contractor side.
And we could afford that if it was $500,000 float.
Yes.
Or $200,000 to $300,000 or whatever.
We could.
I mean, I like the grant. I like free money, and we have needs.
Yeah, I do too, and this is a project that we wouldn't be able to do any other way than with this grant.
Mm-hmm.
And in the future, WIPA's budget has been cut $500 million this coming year. So there aren't going to be any of these grants available in the next probably couple of years.
Since we have time to expend, I guess the strategy is to manage how much we cash out and not really proceed if the contractor is willing to do that until we get some money back.
It depends on the contractors. They're all very busy. The one that we have here that's doing these other projects is really good and really reasonable and does jobs in a fast way. And my thought was to try and have this ready to go out for construction and like in October if we could. Depends on how long it's gonna take for the plans to be completed and accepted. Because we have to go all the way through ADEQ and get a ATC to do it. And this engineer we've worked with before, he's done a couple of other small projects for us.
And I wonder maybe if the engineering dollars, which are the smaller dollars, right?
Yeah.
Whether we can get good at the process, you know, before the big dollars hit. I mean, we can only get as good as the governor's office is gonna push them through. But at least in terms of knowing what they push back on, what data, you know, this is wrong, do it again, this is wrong, do it again, maybe we can get through that part.
Mr. Chairman, there's like $200 million worth of this kind of money out there, and they're just now getting all of their ducks in a row, procedures in place and staffing and all that to actually start processing this. So by the timing that the district has, we hope that a lot of the protocols and procedural things will be streamlined much better, but there will be a delay.
Guys on board members online, any questions?
No, thank you.
Well, then.
No, I don't have any either. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger. So, should we make a motion?
Make a motion to authorize the district operation funds to complete the Pine Cove project, so long as we can manage through the cash flow.
I'll second that, and then let me ask for all those in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That is unanimous. Thank you. Item number two, fees for public record requests which require legal review. Over to Christy.
Yes, I was asked to put together some numbers for discussion purposes or informational purposes on basically quantifying what it costs the district to produce a public record. So I went by my sheet and I used the information that I have available to rely on.
So it's really the cost is at the bottom. No legal review, right? And so we need to be upfront. Do we know upfront if it will require?
Yeah, and for example, if someone were to request the general journal or any general ledger, financial reports, things of that nature, that's
emails, right?
Not necessarily really? Emails. Okay. Emails may require redaction. But sticking to straightforward things like a financial report or general ledger or general journal, things of that nature don't need redaction. So those were
Is that part of what we're concerned about? Because the last time we pointed this out, we had to do a lot of redaction.
That's true. It depends on the type of document that is being requested.
So in that type, it would still be this rate, 73. Okay.
Right, because I would scan it and send it to legal to review, and then Steve would decide.
Okay. I think it's fairly straightforward.
So, and Steve, this is a common thing, right, to charge, or a doable thing? Steve Ween?
A doable thing, I'm sorry.
We're talking about the public records request cost estimation, and got it.
Well, let me be clear on this, and I appreciate what Christy's saying, and it's true. Normal public records requests can be handled in the office. They're no big deal. You know, things that are normal documents that people request usually don't require a lawyer getting involved. Okay, but the requests that you've been getting from members of the public are very pointedly looking for legal bills, you know, contracts, issues that have been related to litigation, those types of things. So that is why I've been reviewing them. It's always going to be a judgment call by the office manager and the board as to, you know, what needs to have a legal review. But, you know, let's just be honest here. We've had some very pointed researchy public records requests that are looking at things that involve legal strategy, legal work, and that's why, you know, you've had some heavy redaction and legal costs related to those.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I'm just thinking out loud. $7.50 sounds high for things that we could just do here.
In fairness, I would be shocked if I requested a public record and was told it would be $7.50 per sheet.
Yeah, and I don't want to send the wrong message that we don't want you asking for records. I mean, that's an open process and everything. To me, I mean, once you throw the legal review in, That's a whole different animal to me, but just the things we can do here locally, that feels punitive to me.
I agree with that, if I may. Just like Steve, if we have to send him to utilize his time, my team has to stop what they're doing and utilize their time to go find this. And it's not always just, oh, here it is. They have to go someplace off site or whatever. So there is time associated with their hourly rate.
Yeah, I didn't want to discount that. I didn't want to say it's a free type
right,
thing for sure.
Which is where $7.50 sounds like a lot, but that is mostly, obviously, the cost of a sheet of paper plus its printing fees, toner, whatever is negligible. You're looking at the primary cost driver being that people have to go and collect or move a document around.
Well, and let me interject, because some of those expenses we cannot recover. So we're going to have to look at this and you know, study how to take that approach. I'll definitely get some guidance, but there's a whole bunch of case law on what costs can be passed on and can't, and we just need to be careful of that and make sure we're within the legal frame.
Okay, Larry had a comment.
Many other organizations charge $5 per page for average records requests. So I don't think $5 is out of the question. I don't see that $7.50 is that far out of the question either.
Okay. Do we want to take this under advisement and revisit
it? Well, we can table it.
Yeah. Because Steve's got work to do on.
We can table it and figure out what we can charge before we do anything with it. So this is really for information so we can start the process, and then we can just table this and bring it up at the next board meeting.
Yeah. It'd be good to see this actual cost, just what we think we can recover, whatever, right? And then determine the recovery.
Yeah,
because the rest should be absorbed by us.
Yes,
right.
Excellent. Great start to it. Great start to it. Let's table it.
I make a motion to table this until next.
One second.
All those in favor of tabling, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Good start on that. Thank you. Item number three. A study for a 5 to 10 year projection of water model. Sharon.
Okay, this was board members had mentioned that they thought we should do a study for 5 to 10 years for the future for use of water and expansion in the district. However, we've already had the engineering firm working on this water model report for at least the last year and a half. It's been at least that long since it got started. And they took a basic water model report that we had. It was very small and didn't have a lot of information on it, and spent all of this time coming up with recommendations, water zones, and all that type of stuff. This is really a draft report of it because we haven't had a chance to do a complete review of it. We're in the process of doing that now. So, but this is a draft of the water model, which goes into the future and does recommendations on areas to fix the system, for pressure, for water, for being able to supply water in both directions. Like we can here, we can send water to Strawberry from Pine, and we can send water from Strawberry down to Pine because of the Magnolia line. A lot of the water lines that are being replaced now into the 6-inch water lines, a lot of these recommendations are to do those very similar things. So that if something happens sending it one way, it can be sent from somewhere else. So the residents always have their water. So I brought it up, put it out in draft so that everybody can read it, talk about it. We're going to be in our team meetings next week. We're going to be putting it up on the screen, and we're going to go through it with staff and that type of stuff and come up with modifications and stuff to this report so that it can get final.
And that's great. Just a comment. I don't see, and this all comes with iteration, but like I would want a view of 10 years by year, right? What do we think
supply is, and what do we think demand is? I mean, you know, what are we going to serve? And maybe even, you know, we need to think through what happens to pine strawberry in the next decade, right? In terms of building units and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, just that should be part of that.
That would be more than just a water model report. That's
right.
More of a master plan.
Right.
Yeah, Sharon, I think myself and Victor originally kind of brought it up. And what we're looking at is just basically, do we have enough water now to cover the housing and the demand 10 years from now? If we don't, how much more are we going to need? It was more around that realm than all the intricate detail of that report about stuff. It's, you know, it'd be something you do that's at a much higher level that really is just trying to determine, are we set for the future? You know, from a consumption versus demand.
Well, this I look at this as a starting point
for sure.
Yeah.
For what we want, because we've already paid for it with USDA funds, so we have a good basis to start as far as the water, and then from there we could have an engineer take the master plan that we have that's 10 years old and bring it up to date with district funds.
Right. Paul, you were going to say?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Board. The document you have before you, as indicated here, is the base under which we know how much water can we get to this area of the community. If that area of the community is totally built out and we don't anticipate changing the zoning or building a hotel or something like that, then we kind of know that's good from that standpoint. And as indicated earlier, the district and their staff can move water from each of the communities back and forth. And so this tells us what physically we're able to deliver in certain areas. And then the next step is, as you're indicating, overlay how much more growth is going to occur in these areas and what kind of growth. And then we get it down to, as you recall, during the moratorium studies, we got everything distilled down to equivalent dwelling units. So it could be a commercial facility that might have 20 equivalent residential dwelling units that we have to account for, those kinds of things. So this is an excellent start. What we wanted to make sure of as we look through it in a cursory view this morning with the staff is we just need to update all the work that's been done and the nomenclature and the sizing and the names and how it fits in the system. And so I would expect that you'll see this on your agenda over the next couple of meetings as we get that more refined.
Sweet. Great start. And you're going to be working it with the teams each week, right?
Yeah.
Talk. Awesome.
Well, one thing, I went straight to recommendation report. I did see when they said priority high, maybe you guys can brainstorm on what does priority really mean.
Right.
Risk and then timing, right, in addition to the money. So.
Okay.
Any other comments on that one? We'll just revisit and iterate. Okay, item number four, proposal to change the dates of the August meeting to August 29th due to the timing of the audit, and the November timing to the first Thursday in December, since we don't want to be meeting on Thanksgiving Day. I'm fine with both of those. They make sense. We don't want to meet on Thanksgiving, and we do want to allow the audit process to happen under. And it stayed, the first one stays within August. Any comments on that? Do we need to just agree that, or motion, or what do we just do?
Motion. And do a motion, yeah. I make a motion of changing the dates of the August meeting to the August 29th due to the audit, and the November meeting to the first Thursday in December, since November meeting falls on Thanksgiving.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. That carries. I got to get this in my calendar right now. December 5th, right? December 5th.
And I didn't last put a date on it so we could do it.
August 29th.
In 4 years. I didn't date it because I wanted it to be for whatever year.
In perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
We post the schedule on the website.
Okay.
Thanksgiving rule is following meeting day.
And the same thing for the audit, right? It kind of happens the same time.
Well, sometimes we don't do the audit until September, but this year we're doing it the 26th of August. So we're processing month end and we're processing documents and stuff for the audit. And I have to say, we're really far ahead on the audit already. We've uploaded a ton of documents already for the auditors. So I suspect before the 26th, we're going to start getting requests.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
So it looks like the audit-driven one
could move,
but I agree on moving the Thanksgiving one to the following.
Because that's its definition, isn't it? Fourth Thursday?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
The Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah. So that one we should.
Sometimes it's early in November, but normally it's the fourth.
You mean?
Because sometimes the way the month falls each calendar year.
You mean Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Thanksgiving has been as early
some of those
as the
things
22nd.
Are, has it?
Yeah.
Some of the, oh, right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's been on my daughter's birthday before.
Okay, thank you. Item number 9, identifying potential agenda items.
We could bring back the water model.
Bring back the water model, bring back the
public
records request.
Public records.
Yeah, those are the two I thought of.
And in the meantime, we'll need to get some information on what we can recover, what costs.
Right, and that's Steve Dean's task, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, last call on agenda items. With that, then, let me call for a motion to adjourn this public meeting.
So moved.
Regular meeting. Here a second.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. This regular meeting is now adjourned.